Żydzi, rodacy, ludzie, ludzie! Myślicie, że ta
Jewish, fellow countrymen, people, you think the old woman who still sleeps under Rivka's quilt doesn't want to see you? Has forgotten about you? You're wrong. She dreams about you every night, dreams and trembles with fear. Since the night you were gone and her mother reached for your quilt, she has had nightmares, bad dreams. Only you can chase them away. Let the 3 million Jews that Poland has missed stand by your bed and chase away the demons. Return to Poland, to your country. This is Lewomir Sierakowski giving a speech at the deserted Warsaw Stadium, addressing a bunch of kids, foreseeing the return of more than 3 million Jews in Poland. This is the video with which Jel Bartana led off the Polish trilogy in 2007. At the Venice Biennial, where she represents Poland, she has premiered the last video chapter, Assassination. Lorenzo Fusi met her and Gali Eliat, one of the two curators of the Polish Pavilion, and retraced the making of the three videos, trying to analyze them, both in political and aesthetical terms.
My name is Lorenzo Fusi, and I'm very much delighted today to start an interview with one of the two curators, is that correct? For the Polish Pavilion, and the work that is presented at this time is that of Jel Bartana. This is a quite unusual occasion, because I think it's the first time in the history of the Polish Pavilion that an artist of a nationality other than Polish is representing the country in Venice. So I might want to start interviewing Galit Eilat, who's, as I said, one of the two curators, by asking her how this experience started and who did choose the curators for the pavilion.
Okay, the process in Poland, you have an open call. So artists can apply and the name of the curators is closing an envelope. So they choose the artist and then they open the envelope and they got the curator coming with the artist. So it's not about the curators, it's about the artist. We applied with Yael, it was Yael's idea to apply to the Polish Ministry of Culture for the Polish Pavilion after working in the past 5 years in Poland. Try to deal with the relation of the Poles and the Jew, but yeah, this is the, let's say, like the interface or the upper layer of the work. I'm born in Israel. I'm not living in Israel anymore, but also not in Poland. But I'm working with Yael, I think, at least in the past 10 years. We're working quite close together on different projects and exhibitions. So this is my relation to the work. So it's less relation to Poland, it's more relation with the artist.
So you've been witnessing the process of the creation of a series of three videos from the very beginning, of three films, better said. So you can probably help us in visualizing, using words, the narration of the narrative, which is underpinning the three different pieces.
I will try maybe to describe it. I'm not sure I can do it visually, but maybe I can say something about the visual language. It's based on the Russian, but also the Nazi propaganda. A lot of close-ups, very strong colors. The sound is magnified to maximum when you have a speech. The music, it's all the time. This or it's the Israeli anthem or played backwards, or the Polish one. So it's dealing with, you know, this drama music. The narrative starts with the first film, which is called Mari Kuszmari in Polish. And the meaning is, in English, it's nightmares. And the question is, it's nightmares for the Poles or for the Jews. It's about calling to 3,300,000 Jews to come back to Poland. This is the number of the Jews that killed in Poland during Second World War. And the one that's calling to the Jew to come back, it's Sierakowski. Here is play an activist, but also it's quite non-figure. He's a writer, a journalist, and the head of or part of the Krytyka Polityczna, which is the critical political or the new left movement in Poland, which involved many activists, artists, writers, scriptwriters, many people involved in culture. The second one, it's Wall and Tower, Wallentar, you see how a kibbutz was constructed in the 20s, 30s, 40s, but also how the new settlements now in Israel built. The law in Israel of building still based on the Ottoman law. So the law in Israel, it's of course the Israeli law, but under it there is the English law, which come from the mandatory time and then the Ottoman period. And one of the rules in the Ottoman law, if you build a house overnight, the authorities can't demolish it. And this is how the settlements are built overnight. Like we hear about Netanyahu go to meet Obama, and the same night, three new settlements built at the Palestinian territories. So overnight, they build it if they manage to do it without intersection with the army. So the next day, you have a new settlement in Israel. So on the same base, Yael built a settlement. So it started with a fence and a tower, watchtower, and then you build your community. It's very old structure. We can find it like back in history. But the reference in the work, it's to the kibbutz, but also to the ghetto. It's the same way, or army base. You know, first you need to protect yourself, to have the watchtower, and then you build a community. Then the community start to function. The last film called Assassination, and it's assassination of Shirakovsky, the leader of the movement.
May I ask you about talking about images? There's a very strong reference, of course, to the rhetoric of war, and fascism or nationalism is a very, very strong imagery, the one that she has been adopting at this time. And also, I think in terms of, like, you know, the meaning, sometimes it's, you know, it's very ambivalent, it's very open-ended, and you never really know which type of extremism is attached to the what it seems to me like, you know, very strong nationalist visual elements and components, suggesting and alluding or just bringing to a sort of a populism, which is pretty much colluded with Nazis, in fact, imagery and propaganda and rhetoric. How so far has been received this work, or this body of work, as I say, maybe by Polish authorities or, you know, Polish citizens that are here in Venice?
I think also in Poland, we can talk about the previous one. I think this language is quite transparent to people. They used to this kind of language. You know, I think more people that live in the East, and they used to this kind of propaganda and imaginary. I think it's more striking for us.
Speaking more about the artistic parable of Yael, because you know her work for many years now. Can you recall or can you describe how it has been unrolling and developing throughout the years? Can you see a strong relationship with her previous work, or you think that this body of work is really signifying a shift in her practice?
Following Yael's work in the past 10 years, I can think the string, like, you know, the chain of developing, like for one step to the other, in two ways. One, with different kind of engagement with certain kind of situation, also with the Palestinian, because there is the layer here of the returning of the Jewish back to Poland. It's the claim of, or the right of return of the Palestinian to come back to Israel. This is the underline. And the question to what you are returning, and what is your image to where, you know, the return. Are you returned to the house, to the land, to a dream, to a culture, to the past? Can you correct the past? Her work become more and more engaged and trying to find different kind of strategies also on the political level, but also on the visual level. So this is why we see now the outcome of highly political or propaganda language in her film.
And in terms of the filmic presence, which is very strong, I mean, in terms of cinematography, I mean, it's really beautifully done. It's a stunning body of work. And I didn't think that it was so strong before. I was considering her more as a video maker, like an artist using video. But at this time around, I really got the feeling that she's a feature film director. And I think that has been probably artistically, I would say, one of the main changes. Although the content, I do agree, you know, there's a continuity in terms of progress. How do you think this has changed? Just more means of production, or just being very focused on the body work, which would have been taking 5 years to develop? What do you think have been the changes of the motivations behind this, I think, improvement in terms of use of language?
I think once I have said slow cooking, you know, like artists grow up now. She's in her 40s. I think it's the best age for a female also, you know, the best time that you start to know yourself and the world much better. And I think she articulated by the years. One of the beautiful things about Yael that she's working with a team all the time. and the team are growing, and the same people are working with her. So I think the language and the way that she's working become more and more professional, because the people that are working with her understand the language. It's not Hebrew or English, but understand her language and understand what she wants. So she can get more, you know, from herself and from the team. And this is why it's become more and more articulated, more and more sharp, because she learned how to work with others, how to get what she wants, and also by herself trying different kind of things, because she produced other films along the trilogy.
My early works were specifically concentrating on Israel, Israel-Palestine conflict, the Israeli identity, national identity, social issues, symbols, metaphors that construct an identity. First, it was more documenting events and political events, and later on, I created events. I grew with the works into the direction of trying to also propose something for society. I was invited to Poland by the Foxel Gallery in 2006, and I accepted the invitation to come and think of a project. And I was often invited to other countries, but I never was really able to produce something. It was the first time that I felt I am emotionally confused and connected at the same time. And Israelis in general are connected to Poland because of the history of the Holocaust, and the large community of Jews comes from Poland. My grandparents came from Poland. It's not because of my personal interest in finding out my roots. It was more intellectually. I wanted to also find a new language to discuss the trauma and the Holocaust and our shared guilt. We don't have the same guilt, but we both nations have guilts. These people have guilts. In Israel, it's more toward the Palestinians issue and then Polish people towards Jews. But things are continuously also, we grow and change, and there is a new generation, and the lucky generation that never experienced the Holocaust, but also during communist time even didn't know that there was such thing. But when I was there doing my research, I also came across a group of intellectuals that are trying to revive the Jewish culture, and not only the Jewish culture, but any kind of different voice and culture that was in Poland before the war and completely disappeared, and suddenly a homogeneous society in Poland. The collaboration brought into the understanding that we all, both need to kind of break a status quo, that we need to move on and to define a new group of people, like that we share same interest. That's the background of the project, and I was at the same time also very interested in propaganda, production, ideology, messages through moving in images. And I wanted to find my way to use this propaganda, but I always play with that, reverse it. I know that people are kind of confused, but why fascist language? And I'm interested in the seduction of those image making. The possibilities of the very simple direct message that can be said through such a language. I want to communicate, I don't want to only criticize.
Why did you choose amongst the many possible slogans precisely this one? Europe will be stunned.
I think it's a very strong statement to say that Europe will be stunned. And the question, stunned from what? So people, it's kind of enigmatic also. Of course there is a joke, and Europe will be stunned. But I find it a very strong slogan, and also try to actually define what it means, stand from what. That there are no direct answers for Europe will be stunned, but the possibility that there will be a kind of a space, a new space to have a dialogue and to believe that that art and culture can produce a political engagement. That's the aim of the project, and to make people join and believe that we can be effective through art.
Because I've been seeing the work in progress. I mean, I've seen the two pre-existing videos before, and the one which has been launched in here, of course, has been a premiere for me as well. But there's also a new novelty, which is the introduction of the actual party. So you can actually sign in. Can you tell us a little bit more about this element?
Sure. I think it's very important. I think after the first film, Yael felt that it's not enough to deal only with the metaphorical and the visual part. We need to take an action. So then she started to work about the movement, the Jewish Renaissance movement in Poland. She killed the image of the leader, and now we start to be active. And I think the movement will go beyond the Polish-Israeli relationship. because like if you read the manifesto of the movement, we call to other people from other nations. And I think the questions and the involvement of the movement will be to talk more about culture, not only a nation, and how many culture we can find, or what kind of culture construct our identity, our mind, and not just to talk about our nation, our flag, and so to talk about, you know, one, you know, influenced by reading certain writers that not are not part of his or her nation. So you feel like sometimes connected to a place which is not your nationality, but you feel very much at home. So we try to figure out and go this direction and promote this idea of, you know, different culture instead of different nations.
Just one question about the selection, the casting that you basically made for the films, because there are many close-ups into the faces of the characters, and it seems like, you know, there's a very specific conscious choice of the type of representation of humanity that you want to stage through the films. There's this kind of emotion, the politics and propaganda and the rhetoric of nationalism seems to suggest, you know, always have something between distance and controlled and emotions emerging. How long was the process of casting? How did you get along this specific, which I'm assuming most of the cases are not professional actors?
Once I was selected to represent Poland, that the Minister of Culture of Poland created a reality that the Jewish Renaissance movement is a real movement. And I wanted in return not to stay on in a fiction, like in the second film is more like a fiction and it's kind of political hallucination. I wanted to incorporate a real people, real speeches, real people that creates also a kind of threshold between reality and fiction. It's a commentary on the reality, but also proposed stories of, you know, like the Holocaust survivor. It was very, very essential for the project to go beyond the fiction of killing the in a symbolic way, the killing the leader, and to actually suggest a widened spectrum of voices, even though I'm obviously from the left part of the map, but I wanted to create a conflict on the stage.
One last question, and then we set you free, because I'm sure he's going to be very busy otherwise. In terms of the movement, which I think is basically like the conclusive chapter of this trilogy of films, you also produce a manifesto. If you had to translate that manifesto for a radio audience and synthesize it with a slogan, which one would have been?
That this movement is open not only for Jews, that everybody is welcome to the movement to join us.
Sorry for the interruption. I got now a phone call from one of the main newspapers in Israel, and they want to interview me and ask me why the Ministry of Culture, the Israeli Ministry of Culture that visited the Biennale, decided to boycott the Polish pavilion and not to visit the Israeli pavilion. No, it's not so a big deal. We knew it, that yeah. She's not going to visit. She said it publicly, that she's not going to visit the pavilion because it criticized the state of Israel.
And what was your opinion about it?
I said that if she were come, I'm not sure that I will welcome her. But this is my personal position, not the official curatorial or from the Polish side. This is the way she's dealing in culture in Israel, because she boycotted now a festival because she thought that one of the film not present all the sided in an equal way. And we know the occupation, it's an asymmetrical situation, so you never can show both sides at the same way. They are not same in situation of occupation. This is my opinion, you know. It's very problematic figure that dealing with culture in very narrow-minded understanding of culture and what culture could bring. Because this project, it's going again nationality, it's going for culture, like what I tried to explain before, to cross the border of nationality and hatred and stigma, etc. So for me it was very hard to see her here, even though I think it's very stupid politically from her side to come to Venice Biennale and not to visit the first Israeli artist that was invited by another nation to present the other nation.
This interview was recorded by Radio Papesse at the 54th Venice International Art Biennial.
What about the location? Tell me, You don't really expect that people will pass from one country to another like they move between two apartments.
RadioPapesse.org